The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 21, beginning with the 12th verse. Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it into a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple area, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read, from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise?" After he left them, and he went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. This is the word of the Lord. Dear friends in Christ, if you're a parent, I'm sure you've been there before. When your children correct you for doing something wrong, when you told them to do something or not to do something, but you didn't practice what you preached and your children called you out on it. You told your children to be nice to each other, to not argue and fight with each other. But one night you and your spouse got in a little argument that got a little heated, and you woke up your oldest, who asked you to stop fighting. Or maybe you told your children not to talk bad about someone or to make fun of someone, but they caught you making fun of someone behind their back. They told you that wasn't nice. Or maybe you told your children that God's word is important, the most important thing in your life, but they noticed when you skipped church that Sunday, when you didn't take them to Sunday school. At times, maybe they are the ones who said, "You know what, maybe we should go to church tomorrow." Sometimes it's our children who have to do the correcting of us. Sometimes it's our children who have to show us what is truly important and the way we should live our lives. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus lifts up the faith of little children as the model for which to follow. The model of faith is the faith of little children. He says, "I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Children will often do what you tell them to do. They'll believe anything you tell them. They won't question. They don't doubt as much. Their own wants and desires are pushed away for what God wants and what God desires. Although they may be small, although they may be young, it is their faith which we are to follow. Today we continue our theme that we use for midweek Lenten services, Ironies of the Passion. The irony was spoken by the theological leaders of the day, questioning what these children were doing, singing praises to Jesus as their Lord and Savior. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they said. Now today, of course, is Palm Sunday, when Jesus triumphantly rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. And we call this day, we talk about this day, and we refer to it as Jesus' triumphal entry as a king. But Jesus didn't enter in a chariot or on some stately war horse. Trumpets didn't sound his praises. He didn't come with a bunch of soldiers. We read about it in our gospel. He rode in on a donkey. On the colt, a foal of a donkey, a one-year-old beast of burden on whom no one had ever ridden. Jesus' triumphal entry was lowly and humble. At the end of our service, we will sing the hymn, right on in majesty. And in there in stanzas 2 and 5, we will sing and describe Jesus' triumphal entry as one of lowly pomp. It may have been lowly, but the people didn't really care. The people still celebrated. His disciples, his followers, they sung his praises. Some put their cloaks down in front of him. Others went into the fields and up in the trees and cut down palm branches and put palm branches laid in front of him. The reason why we call it Palm Sunday. As if they were laying out the red carpet for Jesus as he entered into the capital city of Jerusalem. And they sang his praises. We heard what the words that they sang that Luke records. Matthew says right before our text that they said, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." The celebration continued the following morning. That's when our text for today takes place, early on Monday morning. Jesus and his disciples went to the temple. Jesus looked around the temple, and what he saw appalled him. He saw animal upon animal in the outer court, the court of the Gentiles, and people selling those animals for the sacrifices. There's bartering and bickering, the smell and sound of livestock in the air. Money changers had their tables set up in case any foreigners had come in and they needed to exchange currency. Because they made God's house into a marketplace, because they made a place of worship a den of robbers, taking advantage of those who were in certain situations, they had robbed other people. But on top of that, they had robbed God of glory because they took away from the worship and prayer of him. They robbed the temple of what its intended purpose was, a place of worship. And so Jesus overturned the money-changing tables and the tables of those selling doves. He drove out all the livestock on that Monday after Palm Sunday. But that didn't please the Jewish leaders. They were the ones who were in charge of worship at the temple. And here Jesus was doing what they should have been doing. The people, however, knew who Jesus was. That's why they sang his praises in the first place. So they began to take all the lame, the crippled, and the blind to Jesus. And Jesus healed each and every one, performing miracle after miracle in front of the people. And then there are some children there in the temple. The children must have been there present on Palm Sunday and joined in the songs of praise to Jesus. They saw all the miracles Jesus was performing, and they put two and two together. They picked up that same songs of praise that they were singing on Sunday, and they sang them again on Monday. "Hosanna to the Son of David," they said. We hear that word, Hosanna, every now and again, especially on Palm Sunday. There it is on the banner over there. What does that word Hosanna mean? Well, it literally means, "Save us, please." It's a plea, a prayer for mercy and compassion that we would be saved from our sins and saved from eternal death. It became a liturgical word, a word that they often sang during worship services. And here they were, the children, saying, "Hosanna, save us please," to Jesus. Well, that didn't make the Jewish leaders any more happy. They came to Jesus and they said, "Do you hear what these children are saying? There's just more than a little bit of unbelief attached to those words." They were essentially saying, "Don't you hear these children singing praises to you? You're obviously not the Lord. You're obviously not the Messiah, the Savior. So why aren't you stopping them from singing praises to you?" Now, the chief priests were those who were in charge of worship in the temple. They were the religious leaders of the people, the experts in the law, are literally the scribes. They often wrote down God's word. They wrote down the Old Testament. They wrote down all the laws and regulations that the other Jews had made. They knew God's word backwards and forwards. They were the experts. They knew the words of Scripture. They heard Jesus preach and teach probably on numerous occasions. They saw all the wonderful things he had done, Matthew says. They saw the miracles he had performed by healing the blind and the crippled. They probably saw other miracles as well. But they failed to put two and two together. And they showed their unbelief in Christ. The children, on the other hand, they could put two and two together. They heard the songs of praise. They heard Jesus teach. They saw the miracles and they proclaimed his name. The Jewish leaders, the religious people, the religious leaders, they saw the same thing as the children, but they were blinded to the truth. They were blinded by their own selfishness and ambition, their own presuppositions. No matter what Jesus did, no matter what Jesus said, they wouldn't believe because they had already made up their mind about him and they had already rejected him. So the irony is that the children knew more theology than the theological leaders, than the theologians. The children knew better. It may sound strange to us, but it's often the case even today. There are many, even some who claim to be theologians, who mock and ridicule Christians who take God at his word, calling them foolish and gullible. The sad reality of the church today is that many who are supposedly Christian professors, many who are pastors, don't confess Jesus in the same way as the children do. Oh, they deny that God came down from heaven, that Jesus is true God and true man at the same time. They deny that God prophesied in the Old Testament that Jesus would come, that Jesus suffered and died on the cross only to rise from the dead. They deny all those things. Why? They don't see it because they don't want to believe it. Now, people today, they'll believe anything. They'll believe in reincarnation, evolution, that God talks to us through our own feelings and emotions, but God coming down from heaven to save the world from eternal damnation, that they reject. Why? Because that would mean God is a judge. That would mean that there's an absolute right and an absolute wrong. And that every person who doesn't conform to what is right or wrong will face eternal consequences. And that our society can't swallow. They think what's right or wrong is based on any certain number of given situations. Eternal standards, absolute rules, divine judgment. People today just don't buy that because it means that some people are in fact guilty and that some people will face eternal damnation for their sins. And so many reject Jesus as the Savior and make him into some sort of example for us to follow. In the same way, society, science, reason and logic, many other things crowd God's word, get in the way of our faith, and maybe cause us to doubt either a portion of God's word or we wonder if everything what God says in his word is true. Often our faith isn't as strong as it should be. That's why Jesus lifts up the model of faith as little children. Children who believe God's word, and not doubt it, but take it as truth. That Jesus truly was born of the Virgin Mary. That he truly is God and man at the same time. That he came down from heaven to save us. That he took away our sins on the cross. That he did rise from the dead 3 days later. And that we will live with him in heaven forever. We do well then to have a childlike faith. Not doubting, but firmly believing and holding on to what God says at his word as absolute truth. Jesus, when the Jewish leaders asked him that question, he said, "Yeah, I know full well." Of course he knew full well what those children were doing, but he didn't stop them. He didn't prohibit them from singing Hosanna to him, asking him to save them. Why? Because they were doing what was right. They were doing what they should have been doing, singing praises and praying to God, praying to him. That's what Jesus came to do. That's why Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey in Palm Sunday. He didn't come so that he can have some triumphal entry. He didn't go into Jerusalem so that he can cleanse the temple once again. He came to suffer and die. He came to be crucified on the cross. Because he knew that on the cross, he would pay the price for our sins. He would take our sins upon his shoulders. He would shed his blood, pay the ransom price for our sins, that he would take that perfect life that he had lived for over 30 years and give us that perfect and holy life, so that we could be declared not guilty in the eyes of the Lord, as he looks upon us as pure and innocent because we have been robed in Christ's righteousness. He came so that the Lord can declare us not guilty, as he removed the dividing wall of hostility, the dividing wall of sin that separated us from God, and he reconciles us back to him. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem, he knew full well that he was riding into his death, and he willingly rode into his death because he knew that 3 days after his death, he would rise from the dead to bring an end of fear. Death is not something to be feared. It's not an end. But it is the beginning that we look forward to. The beginning of a perfect life with our Savior in heaven forever. So Jesus triumphantly rode into Jerusalem, already victorious, because he knew that he would defeat sin, death, and the devil. Those children knew that Jesus was a Savior. That's why they sang his praises. And so Jesus could not and would not prohibit them. On top of that, this was prophesied in the Old Testament scriptures. Now Jesus quotes Psalm 8 and he says, "Have you never read, from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise?" Jesus asked them, "Have you never read this?" Of course they've read this. These were the chief priests. These were the experts in the law. They knew this well-known psalm. They probably knew it by heart. They read these words again and again, but they never really fully understood its meaning. Now those Jews readily recognized this psalm as a messianic psalm, a psalm about the prophecy of the Messiah. In Psalm 8, God's Son is coming down from heaven to live on this earth in order to save the world. And the children sing praises to this God who's come down from heaven as their Savior. And here, Jesus is taking the words from Psalm 8, this messianic psalm, and applying it to himself, leaving those Jewish leaders speechless and stunned. This psalm they had known so well is about Jesus. They didn't know what to say. And the fact then still remains that God ordains praise from his children, no matter how young or how old they really are. That means that God causes his children of all ages to praise him. He does that through the gospel. The gospel by which the Holy Spirit works. When he baptizes, when we hear the gospel in sermons, when we read it at home, when we read it in Bible class, when he gives us his true body and blood, and with and under the bread and the wine and the Holy Supper, the Holy Spirit is at work, giving and strengthening faith in him. He reaches into our hearts and fills us with joy as our Savior and causes the confidence in His promises to grow. Then coming out from our hearts, through our lips, come His praises. As we began worship today, we imitated what the children did on that Palm Sunday and the following Monday. We sang, "All glory, loud and honor to you, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring." We follow that model faith of those children. Later on, in just a little bit in the service, we have another opportunity to follow their great example, as we do every time we receive communion, as we sing that holy, 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 that song of praise in the liturgy. That again includes hosannas. Lord, save us. What an appropriate song to sing as we receive Christ's true body and blood, because that is what He does in that sacrament. He gives us the forgiveness of sins and thus also life and salvation. We've all been there before when our children have showed us what to do. As the crowds greeted Jesus with the words of Hosanna on Palm Sunday, and the children the next day, we too greet Him with that same song of praise. Because it is that same body and blood with which He entered into Jerusalem to die in our place that He gives us in His sacrament. And it is because the Lord is resurrected, because He is exalted and victorious, that we can now receive His true body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. And so we follow their example in singing His praises. Hosanna in the highest, today and every day. For His name is worthy of praise. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.